hog, she said. There was nothing for a moment. Then Penny's heart fluttered in her chest as she saw the attic door lift a crack and two small glittering eyes peek down at them.
What's to do now? Asked Pog.
Pog, said Penny, with such delight that David looked embarrassed to be near her. Pog poked his head out further from the gloom and wrinkled his nose.
Yes, Pog is here.
Come down, Pog, said Penny. Pog frowned and his eyes met Penny's. Penny smiled. That seemed to sway Pog, because in the next moment he had dropped down a coil of rope and had descended in the amount of time it took to draw breath. Pog looked up at Penny and David, blinking at them in the light. Penny bent over him with her palms on her thighs. In daylight, Pog's face seemed even more animated. His furry features twitched and rippled as he went through a whole series of emotions in a few seconds flat. He seemed apprehensive, nervous, wary. The wariness gave way to curiosity, and the curiosity became something else as he took a step towards Penny. Then the best thing of all happened, and Penny thought her heart would burst. Pog smiled.
Penny, he said.
Pog, said Penny.
Chapter 2. Thank goodness for Granny's hammock. Great leaping lamingtons, says Granny. Evie runs over. She helps the lovely sausage dogs down. This playground is no good for puppies, she says. Pog quite likes the playground as it is. Evie thinks hard. How can we make the playground puppy friendly? She says. Pog, we need a plan. We can't do it without one. Pog's ears shoot up. He loves making plans. He folds his newspaper and leaves his tea behind. Evie and Noah jump into the sandpit. They roll around to smooth out the sand. They giggle the whole time. Pog picks up a stick and they get to work. A bit lower here, says Evie. And higher there, says Noah. That should be bigger, says Evie.
Not too big, says Noah.
And we need a lot of chains, says Evie. We can finger knit those.
Prue pulled out a gold-painted seat nearest to her.
Best not sit there, dear, said Lavender swiftly.
Oh, sorry, Prue said, wondering if it was perhaps a very precious antique chair. She sat in the next empty chair and the others all took seats. A delicate cough came from under the table. Lavender stood up. Prue looked to Agapantha, who shrugged. Lavender gestured to them to stand too. Something furry brushed past Prue's legs, making her jolt. The gold chair beside Prue creaked back slightly. Then a cat jumped into it. The cat was grey and white, wearing a lace-trimmed red velvet dress with a gold picadillo collar, jewelled tiara and ruby necklace. The cat observed the table with piercing blue eyes, then waved her paw and said,
"You may be seated."
Prue marvelled at the way the cat's face moved with such precise detail, her voice graceful and polished.
"I trust you had a good rest, Queen Adelaide," Lavender asked.
"One did," the cat said.
Prue couldn't help but let out a snigger. "Queen Adelaide?" The cat glared at her.
"This is Francis, Agapantha and Cora, new apprentices," said Lavender.
Queen Adelaide gave a nod. Lavender instructed them to fill their plates as high as they liked, and Prue jumped at the chance, feeling famished from the journey and events of the day. Cora proceeded to tell everyone all about her many talents in design, invention, mathematics, precision mechanics, and how she had travelled far and wide. Prue thought it impossible that one person could really have done so much. Lavender, who was sitting the other side of Prue, leant across and whispered,
"Adelaide thinks she was a queen in her past life. Poor dear, we think there may have been a problem with her harnessing.